ॐ ध्यायामोद्धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम्। Shankara, after explaining the Prarabdha Karma, about Prarabdha Karma, and as to how Prarabdha Karma is not there for a Jnani, not just for Jnani, even for Ajnani's Prarabdham is not there, it's only because of Ajnani's vision, Ajnani's ignorant vision, which causes him to believe, which causes him to see as if Prarabdham is there. So, Ajnani Jana Bodhartham. So, prarabdham bhakti vai shrutihi. In order to make a ajnani understand, therefore, shruti speaks about prarabdham. Else there is, in reality, or really speaking, there is no prarabdham for a jnani, neither for an ajnani. Now, after explaining theories, so till now he has been explaining theories, philosophies, or logical assertions. So now he gets down into sadhana, as to what is the sadhana that a person has to do in the world. So till now it has been explanation of various concepts, philosophical concepts, and now he enters into the sadhana aspect. So even it is considered, even in the Western philosophy or Western religions as well, we can split religion or any even philosophy. So religion or religion in general can be split into various components. So by default people consider religion to be composed of three components. One is ritualistic approaches, and the second is stories or Puranic stories, which are helpful in propagating a particular concept, and then philosophical aspect. So even with philosophies or any darshanam, we can split it into two aspects. Like even as when we used to learn science or physics or chemistry or biology in colleges, then we used to have a theory class and a practical class. So there is a theoretical approach to philosophy, and there is a practical approach to philosophy. The theoretical part we can consider them as various statements, yuktis, or various statements, logic, etc. Whereas the practical aspect consists of sadhana, the sadhana that a person needs to do in order to experience the truth of the theory. So initially a person will be taught a theory. Once he is taught the theory, then he will be said as to how he can experience it, how he can verify it. It's as good as telling that we will say, okay, in order to find whether a liquid that is there is acidic or alkaline, put a paper into it, and if it turns this particular color, if it turns red, if it turns like pink or rose or red, then it is alkaline. If it doesn't turn that color, then it is acidic. So initially you will be taught that way, theoretical approach, and then you'll be made to implement it in practice. So that is practical aspect of it. So even here, till now Shankara has been asserting the same thing again and again, that there is only Brahman here. Whatever is there is Brahman. Anything other than Brahman is only an illusion. It's mithya. It's not real. It just appears to be existing. It doesn't really exist. And now he enters into the sadhana aspect. So for a person to get aparoksha jnanam, initially he needs to learn from the guru. He needs to learn as to what is the truth, as to what is reality, as to what is the what is to be really learned. Once he learns that everything is Brahman, then still things will be still pending. So it is called, that's the reason why Vedanta speaks about Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, the three parts of Shravana Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So it is said, as we would have already discussed, but just in brief, Shravanam is listening to the scriptural statements from a guru with emphasis on Brahman. So with emphasis on Brahman is very important, because people just go to Bhagavata Saptaham, they hear to Bhagavatam, they hear to Krishna's stories, they hear to Rama's stories, and then they shed tears, and then they come home telling, oh, it was really great. That kind of hearing is not Shravanam. Shravanam, Vedantic Shravanam, is not mere listening or hearing. It is listening with import or the emphasis on Brahman. So any listening, anything that we listen to without emphasis on Brahman, without mention of Brahman, without focusing that Brahman alone is real, that is not Shravanam, that is not part of Shravanam. So only those listening which emphasizes on Brahman, which speaks about Brahman alone as real, that alone is Vedantic Shravanam. So when a person comes to learn scriptures, then he gets the doubt as to I have heard from my father, I have heard from stories, I have heard from Puranas, and I have heard from Mahatmas that Brahman alone is there, Brahman alone is real. Whatever is there in the world, that is pervaded by Ishvara, pervaded by Brahman. So is this really correct? So there will be doubts as to whether Brahman is really there, Brahman alone is there, that is true or not, the statement that Brahman alone is there is true or not, such doubts will be there. That is removed by Shravanam, Vedantic Shravanam. When the Guru teaches the Shishya, the Shruti, he teaches him the entire Shruti with emphasis on Brahman. So each shloka that is taught, that he learns, that the Shishya learns with respect to Brahman, learns with focus to Brahman, whether it is about creation of the world, whether it is about the sense organs, still the focus should be on Brahman. The focus, when focus is on Brahman, then the Shishya will come to know that, oh, this is the Mahatvam of Brahman. The Shishya will also come to know that Brahman alone is real through Shruti Vakyam. So, samshayam is removed. Samshayam or doubts. Samshayam is removed when the seeker learns from the Guru that Shruti speaks about Brahman alone. But even after Guru says that only removes doubts, still there can be confusions in the mind in the form of logical confusions. So, a person might think, okay, Shruti says everything is Brahman, but how can that be true? I see dual things in the world. I see the world as having duality in it. So, is this duality true? If Shruti says this duality is not true and Brahman alone is true, Brahman alone is real, then what is it that I am perceiving? So, he will have something called logical impossibility or asambhavanam. The logical impossibility of the possibility of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya being impossible, or the possibility of Brahman, such a Brahman to exist beyond the duality of the world, which is an illusion, is not possible. So that is removed, this impossibility. So the impossibility or logical impossibility, we can call logical impossibility or impossibility, that is removed. The impossibility doubts in the mind of a seeker is removed through Mananam. So in Mananam, the Shishya applies logic, applies Yukti, as has been propounded in the Shastra. Shastra as well as works of various Vedantic Acharyas speak about as to how a person has to do Yukti, how a person has to use logic. So unless we use logic in the right way, then we will end up somewhere else. So when logic is properly applied, then the Shishya realizes that, oh, impossibility is not right. So asambhavayam, that such a Brahman cannot exist, that vanishes. So he knows that such a Brahman can exist, such a Brahman does exist. But yet it is only logical conclusion, it's not an experience. So after gaining logically concluding that Brahman can exist, he still doesn't experience Brahman. So until he experiences Brahman, whatever he experiences is contrary. His experiences are contrary to what he has learned, what he has logically concluded. So he gains contrary knowledge or viparyaya jnanam. It's called viparyaya jnanam or viparyaya bhavana. Viparyayam means contrary, contradictory. So whatever he has learned, he negates them because he hasn't experienced it. He doesn't gain experience. So this viparyaya bhavana or viparyaya jnanam is removed through nididhyasanam. When a person constantly contemplates on Brahman, then he gains aparoksha jnanam, he realizes. So shravanam and mananam only help him, paroksha jnanam, they help him in knowing about Brahman from a third person perspective, not a intuitive or direct experience, indirect experience. But when a person does nididhyasanam, then it becomes aparoksham. So till now Shankara has explained paroksha jnanam, whatever Shankara has given to us is paroksha jnanam, clearing samshayam and asambhavana, which means that Shankara has helped us in shravanam and mananam till now. But mere shravanam or mananam, just listening to a person speaking about aparoksha anubhuti, just by hearting one shloka and then forgetting it the next day, that will not help a seeker, because he'll still not realize Brahman. He'll have learned something, he'll forget it. It will be of no use to him. So though Shankara speaks about constant contemplation, yet whatever he has said till now, he has emphasized on shravanam and mananam. Therefore, he enters into the sadhana aspect. So theoretical aspect helps in shravanam and mananam, whereas practical, for practicality of whatever theoretical knowledge a person has gained, he should do nididhyasanam, he should do contemplation, he should do sadhana. So the only sadhana that Vedanta really accepts is nididhyasanam. Before entering into the next part where Shankara explains different steps, we should remember that though there are n number of steps that Shankara gives, 15 in total he gives, though he mentions all those sadhana, they are all progressive. And what is meant to achieve by those sadhanas, those 15 steps, we can consider them as steps. So that 15 steps is nididhyasanam or anusandhanam. When we do those 15 steps properly, then anusandhanam or nididhyasanam becomes constant. And when a person does contemplation constantly without any break, then very soon he realizes Brahman. He gains aparoksha jnanam. So that is the purpose. So we should always remember, since we are going to learn, and when we are learning the steps that Shankara is going to give, we should remember that all these steps should have focus on Brahman, and all these steps will finally help in constant contemplation. So constant contemplation is the goal, or nididhyasanam is the goal that is to be achieved through the 15 steps that Shankara is going to give. And once a person does nididhyasanam, then viparyaya jnanam vanishes and aparokshanubhavam or moksham, a person is sadhaka, gets moksham. So that is the purpose. So we should remember that these 15 steps will finally lead to nididhyasanam, and nididhyasanam will lead to aparokshanubhavam. So keeping that in mind that everything is Brahman, and that Brahman's contemplation is what is to be achieved through these steps, let's start the steps. So in the 100th shloka, Shankara enters into these steps. So he gives a statement that till now I have explained about jnanam, I have explained about knowledge in different ways, I have explained about knowledge quoting Shruti, doing Shravanam, and as well as Yukti Yuktam, giving various examples about the illusory nature of the world, about the illusory nature of the body, that Brahman or Atman alone exists. And then I've also said that when jnanam arises, then ajnanam vanishes and there is no prarabdham, there is no karma at all. So as to how a person can gain that knowledge, so the knowledge that Shankara speaks here is not exactly paroksha jnanam. So though Shankara is speaking about, has spoken about jnanam that removes ajnanam and all, that is not exactly paroksha jnanam, but it is also aparoksha jnanam. Because the paroksha jnanam that a person gains is from an external source. So whatever a person gains through Shankara's words till now, that is paroksha jnanam. And that paroksha jnanam, to give us fruit, we have to make it aparoksham through nididhyasanam. That is what Shankara is going to say. And we have to remember that, it's also good to remember that, though he has explained paroksha jnanam cannot give us moksha. Paroksha jnanam cannot remove prarabdham. Prarabdham or ajnanam in general is removed not by paroksha jnanam but by aparoksha jnanam. Paroksha jnanam, so Shankara explained jnanam. When Shankara explained jnanam, it is ultimate jnanam or aparoksha jnanam. But since we are learning from Shankara, so even though Shankara speaks about aparoksha jnanam, when it comes to us, it is paroksha jnanam. And so Shankara's aparoksha jnanam, if we have to experience, then whatever he has given till now, paroksha jnanam, we have to convert it into aparoksha jnanam. So that is what he says. Tripanchanganyato vakshye purvoktasya hi labdaye taischa sarvai sada karyam nididhyasanamevatu. So purvoktasya labdaye, so purvoktasya labdhaye, whatever I have explained earlier, what is that? Jnanam. I have explained about jnanam. What jnanam? I have explained about aparoksha jnanam. I have explained about that jnanam which is equivalent to moksha. That jnanam which will negate ajnanam and give you moksha. And that jnanam, that aparoksha jnanam, whatever I have explained, that is for now to you, it is only paroksham. So to convert that paroksha jnanam to aparoksham, thereby removing ajnanam. So to gain aparoksha jnanam, to make that jnanam aparoksha jnanam, tripanchanganyatoha vakshye, I will explain what? Tripancha anga anyataha, I will explain other 15 steps. Tripanchangam, so tripancha means 5 thrice 5, that means 5 into 3, that is 15. So 15 steps I will explain. So taihicha, with that, sarvaihi, with each of the those, sadhakaryam nididhyasanam evatu. So with the help of those 15, so using those 15, sadhakaryam nididhyasanam, a person has to always do nididhyasanam, surely evatu. So I will explain to you 15 steps, other 15 steps which will help you to gain aparoksha jnanam. So to gain aparoksha jnanam, if you are explaining 15 steps, what should I do with it? If a shishya asks, then Shankara says, what you have to do is, you have to follow those 15 steps and thereby end up always meditating, always doing nididhyasanam. So with the help of these 15 steps, as a result of putting these 15 steps into practice, you should do nididhyasanam always. So when you, which means, which is indirectly, or like when we translate it, we can say that I will explain to you 15 steps. When you practice these 15 steps, then nididhyasanam will become constant. When nididhyasanam becomes constant, then you will gain aparoksha jnanam. So the site translates nididhyasanam as meditation, but nididhyasanam is not meditation. In our site vedantatattva.org, you can find out an article about dhyanam and nididhyasanam, comparing dhyanam of, or meditation of yoga darshanam and Nididhyasanam of Vedanta. Those are completely different. In brief, Dhyanam is something that requires a lot of prerequisites. There are a lot of prerequisites. You should sit in a place, you should sit with your back straight, you should close your eyes, you should have done Pratyahara, Pranayama, etc. Whereas Nididhyasanam doesn't have any such prerequisite. For a person to do Nididhyasanam, he should just maintain a constant thought in the mind. So whether a person is driving a car, whether a person is walking, whether a person is eating, whether a person is talking, he can do Nididhyasanam, but he cannot do meditation. So when Shankara uses here Nididhyasanam, the site translates it as meditation, which is wrong. So it is not meditation, because the meaning of meditation that we know is meditation as per Yoga Shastra, whereas Vedantic meditation is what we call as Nididhyasanam or contemplation. So contemplation can be done anywhere. So contemplation, like these 15 steps that Shankara would be giving, that would help in contemplation. And if the moment we are able to do contemplation at all times, if contemplation becomes constant through the 15 steps, then a person is